Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is. Well, it's Friday. It's frickin' Friday. Another frickin' week. Frickin' weekend's coming up, and I'm frickin' ecstatic when I consider the possibilities. It's also the ninth day of March, 2018. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 41 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the High Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 44 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And it's just, you know, it's cool and cold, but at least it ain't freezing ass cold. There's still snow, but it's melting, so it's kind of wishy-washy, down the middle kind of day. That being said, let's see what we got here on the itinerary. Ryan Bundy, figure in a ranch standoff with feds, running for Nevada governor. What do we think about that? Well, we're going to tell you as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Bringing you The Word from the Trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
All righty then, Ryan Bundy, figure in rancher standoff with feds, running for Nevada governor. This is Fox News. Ryan Bundy, whose Nevada ranching family was involved in two armed standoffs with U.S. agents over federal ownership of public land, announced Thursday he is running for governor of Nevada. A federal judge dismissed all charges against Bundy, his father Cliven, as well as with his brother Ammon in January over the 2014 armed standoff to block authorities who planned to capture and impound Bundy cattle that allegedly crossed onto government land. The 45-year-old said he decided to run for governor because he doesn't believe anyone else vying for to succeed term limit Republican Governor Brian Sandoval will do enough to protect states' rights. And see, you know, this is a no-brainer. I've seen, you know, the people on the side have been talking back and forth about this. But they, I mean, this is that coalition, man. These are the people that were, this is the three percenters, the oath keepers, these sons of bitches. This is the Masonic dirty church cabal. I mean, the bottom line is, you're going to hear out of this son of a bitch's mouth is that the states have the right to, you know, for me and my daddy to own the goddamn politicians and run the goddamn state, not the federal government. Don't you see? That's their argument. They don't even, I mean, that Bill of Rights comes in handy when it'll, you know, they can use it for a procedural thing in their admiralty courts with their, you know, their $10,000 or, I mean, let's get real, $100,000 lawyers, their $1 million lawyers in a jurisdiction. I mean, this guy being in prison, I guarantee you the time that they spend in there, they know better than this shit. This is what the plan was all along. We talked about that coalition with that damn, what the hell was her name? Maggie Rose. And I mean, they talked about, they had put it together. They were going to go to Oregon, and that's where they started out there at Galice. And then they were going to go to Idaho, but they ended up going over to Burns and starting that the shit they did over there. But this is a part of that coalition. They want it back, man. That's all there is to it. These sons of bitches don't give a shit if we have our rights or not. Make no mistake about that. They want their elite status returned to them. They want to run the fucking states. I guarantee you, you will not be sitting that governor's seat unless you're a goddamn high Mason and high up in the Mormon church, which I wouldn't have no doubt. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I would believe that he's both. The bottom line is when they keep coming out, it's a pretense that they don't understand that, you know, sections 1021 and 1022 of the National Defense Authorization Act. They don't understand the Patriot Act that has removed the Bill of Rights for the people out here. Everybody, not just the fucking Bundys and the ranchers and the loggers, the industries, the people. And that's all they were for when they went out there to goddamn Burns. They were for the ranchers and the loggers. What did they want? They want the local, because we can sell it for us and we get the goddamn money. Instead of that federal government feller. It's supposed to be all ours. My granddaddy told me so. And they have never even acknowledged that we goddamn exist other than as someone that they can use to further their means. I mean, well, the bottom line here is the people that are asking about this, I'll give you a clue. Now, we have done determined that this is an occupation. And we have determined that to vote in an election put on by an occupation is an act of treason. How much more of an act of treason is it to be to sign up to be one of them, to be a candidate in that goddamn fraudulent foreign election? We cannot make a decision because we have not the capacity to make a decision. By the what is being presented to us as the authority in this goddamn country, we don't have the capacity because our Bill of Rights has been removed. When you remove the Bill of Rights, you remove your capacity to prosecute your life. You remove your sovereignty. You are reduced to a property under these goddamn set of guidelines. And I guarantee you, they can pretend like they're holding these elections and shit, but to pretend that the people have any capacity to make a decision is bullshit. Until our courts are returned, until we can put the criminals in jail, and we've already talked about it. You know, yesterday we were talking about the goddamn fact that the Constitution as a contract is breached, clear out of existence. It is breached beyond repair. Now, anybody that looked at that with the pinhead of knowledge of the law would tell you, you cannot fix that contract. There's no fucking way to fix it. It has been breached. There is so much shit attached to it. It has been so distorted. It breached beyond repair, as is the one of every state, including Nevada. These son of a bitches, they want it back, people. I hear them talk about it. It's like the so-called Jefferson State movement. I think they turned it around because they like hijacking. It's like, you know, the Bundy's crew and, you know, these son of a bitches coming out like the assholes over there on the Micro Effect coming out. They had the red peel thing. Wonder where they picked that up at. I need to take that red peel thing. We found out about it. I mean, it's like they hijacked the Tea Party. It's like they hijacked the Occupy movement. It's just a goddamn, well, they didn't hijack the Occupy movement. It got shut down by the goddamn Department of Homeland Security, but they did hijack the Tea Party. Everything that has come, they hijacked the revolution. I mean, the original uprising that made this goddamn country. Same people, same techniques. They see that power out there. Just like the NRA sees it. The NRA sitting there with their 5 million little members and pretending that they got big balls and big, you know, big push and power. They understand it'd take a fool to fall for anything short of that. It's 300 million armed people and 75% of you do not have control of because you have screwed them so many times that they know what you are. They know what you're up to. They know the only way to rid themselves of you is by force because you're coming at them with force. to pretend otherwise is bullshit. And, you know, for this Bundy to step up, there's Ryan Bundy. Fuck you. You goddamn elitist little prick. You got, are you born with a silver spoon up your ass? You think that you're going to wield the power of the people out here like Alex Jones did with this last election with Donald Trump by coming down to Bunkerville and claiming he was leading, tip of the spear, and then come out here to goddamn Burns, the same thing with Ammon Bundy, tip of the spear. No, you're not. You're nothing. You got about 5 million people. That's it. And most of them are goddamn traitors because you got the 3%. Now, I've seen these Oath Keepers, this son of a bitch we were talking about the other day, that Edwin Vieira Jr., Oath Keepers. I mean, they're trying to worm them. They got shown for what they were in Bunkerville. They stole shit from the militia. And then at Galice, you know, I went over there and I told you, they're over there, the FBI, they're checking out everybody taking their goddamn license plate, parked in the parking lot so we can get everything here for the next move, which was Burns. And then out at Burns, half of them that came up there were active FBI and even ratting on each other and shit, man. And I mean, this is your Tory militia. You got a Tory militiaman here running for governor of Nevada. Anybody that votes any further in these elections, well, we said this is the last election. You are committing treason, plain and simple. Until we have our Bill of Rights back, there is not going to be no cooperation. It has to be total resistance. If you're not resisting, you're a coward and you are a traitor. Go along with this shit. I mean, it's just like, you know, that thing. Well, we don't know about him, you know, kind of thing. And just like Trump, we're telling you what these son of a bitches are. They wouldn't be doing this if they were really patriots who understood the lay of the land, which they do understand the lay of the land. This would be the last thought in their mind. We got to take this shit out. We cannot put a governor in place with on the guise of a contract that's been breached out of existence. We understand that. We have to clear the table. We have to start over because the apparatus is destroyed beyond repair. But you know that I can hear people now. Well, give them a chance, man. I love that chant, didn't you? Give him a chance. Well, you gave old Trumpy a chance, and the other day, what did he say the other day? Man, I just happen to have this here. You know, we gave Trumpy a chance. Maybe we should give Ryan a chance until we hear him say.
If an individual is reported to be a potential danger to themselves or others, allow due process so that no one's rights are trampled, but the ability to go to court, obtain an order, and then collect not only the firearms, but any weapons. In the position
or might take the firearms first and then go to court, because that's another system. Because a lot of times, by the time you go to court, it takes so long to go to court to get the due process procedures. I like taking the guns early, like in this crazy man's case that just took place in Florida. He had a lot of firearms. They saw everything. To go to court would have taken a long time. So you could do exactly what you're saying, but take the guns first, go through due process second.
You see, and these are, I mean, I guarantee you, Bundy, these Bundys, because I listened to him on the radio, this Edwin Vieira Jr., Trump. The only chance we have, people, is to get more people like Trump and Ryan in there, Ryan Bundy in there. Trump! And then we can just completely dispense with the shit, because these assholes have gotten away with this shit for so long, they think they're invincible. They think that they can just keep saying it over and over, and pretty soon we'll just get in line, and we'll start voting, and we'll say, we're glad to have you back, old massa. I like the way you beats me better than the way that new man would be beating me. I swear to God, that's what it is. And these guys are all tied together. Hell, you had Ammon Bundy on the same program that this prick this Edwin Vieira Jr. was on. This is a coalition they put together. This is the industries. This is the cattle industry. This is the farming industry. These people have, these billionaires have pooled their money. And they've got their boy Trump in. Now they're going to go work. I mean, it's just like when they talk about the state of Jefferson or Jefferson the state now, because they had to turn it around because they don't want to be associated with any goddamn radicals wanting that Bill of Rights. But what are they talking about? Oh, not get rid of the bureaucracies. Take the bureaucracies over so we control them. They said, I mean, this is their words, not mine. We got to take the bureaucracies back. They are the ones that built the BLM. They are the ones that put it together so that they could have exclusives over the land from you and me. This prick's like Ryan Bundy. I'll tell you right to your face too, you punk bitch. I will tell you right to your face. And you know it's the truth. I watched the gates go up. I watched them take mountains with the edge of the, because they have a edge of their ranch going on. Take a whole fucking mountain and have the BLM fence it off, and they have the only keys to it. They just gave them a mountain. It was real wonderful back in them days, wasn't it, Ryan? That's what you want back. But I'm here to tell you, you son of a bitch, that ain't what's coming. Because you do not have the power of the people behind you. You have your just your little goddamn cliques out there, and everybody sees them for what they are. You can't get a goddamn, audience for these phony frickin' programs they're bringing up. And McNeil came up and said, man, people just go off. They're going off. Yeah, hell, as soon as they hear this shit, as soon as they hear Trump, they know what it's about. They know what you want, and you're not going to get it, buddy. Onward. Schumer denounced for absolutely disgusting AIPAC speech. What would you expect at AIPAC? Foreign agents, you know, we talk, it's covered ad nauseum on the mainstream propaganda channels. Do you know the Russian interference? Somebody, some Russian guy, you know, put up some goddamn bots and put out some emails on the internet. You know, put out these emails on the internet to try to influence our election, try to influence our internal politics. And we got these goddamn dual citizen Israelis running our frickin' government. You got Netanyahu coming over here, secret meetings in the White House with your president, or what's supposed to be, it ain't our president, this is the chief occupier, okay? The occupier in chief. But you look at this and you think about interfering in your politics, in your country. This, and again, you know, it's like with the illegal alien bullshit. These people, who do they represent? They represent your enemy. They hate your frickin' guts. They hate Americans, plain and simple. This is from Common Dreams, sent in by a reader for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. Bigot, in quotation marks. Outrageous, in quotation marks. And disgusting, in quotation marks. Were just a handful of the many adjectives critics use to denounce Senate Majority Leader Chuckie Schumer. Democrat New York. No, not Democrat New York. A goddamn dual citizen, foreign agent, acting for the state of Israel, foreign state, a foreign king. The son of a bitch should be hung a long time ago. I mean, he's done it prima facie. He's doing it again, right here in your face. Committing treason, right in your face. Because these people were not hired to represent people in other countries. They're supposed to represent us jealously, our rights jealously, to guard us against other son of a bitches. That's what they were been paid for. That's what they were allowed. I mean, that was the whole argument for this goddamn government, wasn't it? For this federal government? That we were some of these outside forces because we had this rich nation. They were going to come and try and take it from us and get in here and get into our politics and take it over and take it from us. And these guys, we got to have this federal apparatus. It's going to be small. But it's going to be so well organized that we can bring the force of the people against these bastards when they come to take your country away from you. When they come to take control of your country away from you. We're going to be there. That's why we're building this federal apparatus. And now what's the son of a bitch being used for? It's being used against us, of course. Chuckie Schumer's speech this week before the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee. Foreign agents, unregistered foreign agents, and they'll tell you that in this article. And yeah, there's registered foreign agents. Hillary Clinton is a goddamn traitor, selling our uranium to the Russians. Yeah. And we investigated the hell out of it. We are the investigation nation. We have spent billions investigating the investigators of the investigators. And yeah, they did it. And that's it. Too big to jail, too big to fail. That's the final line. Israeli Public Affairs, which attributed ongoing Middle East conflict not to Israel's decades of brutal U.S.-backed occupation of Palestine. And that's physical fact. You look at it. What do you see? That's what I see. Palestinian territories. But to Palestinians' failure, what did they fail to do? What did these Palestinians do that caused you to come and be out there, you know, dropping phosphorus bombs on their children and sitting in a goddamn chair with a six-pack of beer, popping their children with your rifles? What did these dirty Palestinians do to deserve? Oh, they failed to believe in the Torah. They failed to believe in your book. You sturdy son of a bitches, your Jew book written by fucking Jews. And I'm telling you, there is going to be a reckoning for this. I don't know what the hell goes on out there in inner and outer space, but by God, I do know nature. Nature, it balances itself. And it is so freaking out of balance. It has been so freaking out of balance for so long. When it swings back the other way, it is going to be a bloody mess. I mean, just the outrage of this. To me, I mean, I'm not a Palestinian, but this fucking outrages me because it's not only an insult to my intelligence, but it's using my authority and my wealth to hurt other people that I have nothing against. I hate the son of a bitches doing it. I hate this fucking Chuck Schumer. How about that? Chuck Schumer, you want to use my money to hang that motherfucker? You got my vote on that one. The fact of the matter is that too many Palestinians and too many Arabs do not want any Jewish state in the Middle East. It was their goddamn, it was the Middle East was theirs. You come from Russia. You came over there from Russia and said, we're going to, I mean, well, you had that Balfour Agreement, didn't you? Somebody wrote it down on a piece of paper. And you wonder, how dare, the Middle East, they're all pissed off because you came, man, you came and invaded my goddamn home. I'd be shooting at your ass too. Make no mistake, you're already here, you bastards. Let's see, where were we here? Jewish state. Arabs do not want any Jewish state in the Middle East. See, but the Jews were all through the Middle East, the true Jews. You know, the line of Abraham they talk about and all this stuff. Not the Khazarians who took on the Jewish religion so that they could sit there and cry victim while they are murdering people. But the Jews were there. There's Jews in Iran right now, living happily in Iran right now. There were Jews in Palestine. Just, you know, mixed with the Arabs, I mean, the Palestinians. They were just there. They were just people living in their country. And along comes some son of a bitches from Russia. We're Jews from Russia. We're Khazarian killers, son of a bitches. And hey, we have, yeah, this fellow over this goddamn, we had this Brit over here. We had a few pictures of him screwing a poodle and we were going to show his wife and he signed this piece of paper. And he's got authority, by the way. I mean, he signed it. He's a real important man. He just gave your goddamn country over to us. You pick up arms, and here they come. Here comes America's might. Because, man, we're going to step in behind our Jew masters, our Khazarian Jew masters. Schumer told the audience gathered at the AIPAC annual conference in Washington, D.C., of course we say it's our land. The book we wrote, you know, the book we wrote, the book of Jews sat down and wrote, you know, that Torah we wrote that we interpret, that we wrote it down and we wrote this down on a piece of paper. Well, I think say how, I don't know how old it is. I've never seen it dated, but you can say it's 2000 years old if you want to. I don't really give a shit. But even 2000 years, see what I'm telling you here, you got to interpret these lines and see here where Abraham and Joshua wrote this, these lines here. They gave the Palestinian land to us. It's ours. It's ours. It's proof positive. A Jew wrote it. I mean, goddamn, this thing of writing things down on pieces of paper is nothing new, I don't think. But like I said, you know, in here in the United States, when about the third treaty that the British laid onto the Indians, where they, you know what they would do back in them days, what they were doing is there was no way to identify the land. You know, it was just like the Indians lived here. Yeah, we live here. It's land. And what, own the land? Somebody owns the land? Well, these people, it's their hunting grounds, but only the Great Spirit can own the land. Nobody can own the land. That's ludicrous. So there was no, I mean, like the hunting, you know, maybe 2 days hike or maybe over that mountain. I mean, there was no survey. And it's hard to take something and start writing it down on paper and then signing your name to it without some kind of description of what you're fucking stealing, you see. So here comes the treaties. It's a very good deal for you, Native American. We got a very good deal for you. See, well, you know, they scribble his shit down on paper. The Indian's looking at it. He can't fucking read. He goes, what's that mean? Oh, it just means it's a very good deal for you. You trust me, don't you? I'm your white friend. You trust me, right? I signed it. You can see my signature. Well, I guess you white friend. I take you into my house. I feed you, keep you from starving to death. And now... Oh, yes, I signed treaty, big X, because I can't write your goddamn language. I don't even, disclosure, I don't even know what that sumbitch says. But you said that the land on this side of the goddamn river was going to be mine forever and ever. As long as the grass grows and the water flows and there are stars up in the sky, this land's mine. And nobody's ever going to encroach on it again. It was just a big mistake that 1,000 miles from here to the coast that just fell into your hands somehow, just... we don't know how it happened, but boy, I'm glad you came along, my white brother, to straighten this out so now I can be secure that I didn't even know that there was such a thing as lines upon the land or on the waters, but I guess there is, and goddamn, thank God I had my white friend here that I could trust to put my lines down on this piece of paper I don't understand and let me know that that belongs to me. And then You know, about the third time that this was encroached upon, they were shot, you know, shot out of their goddamn land again. And then over here, well, we got another treaty for you. It's a little over here to the west. And no, I know it was a fault. It was a faulty treaty. We didn't know that we were going to bring, we didn't have no idea that we were going to bring another 2 million people into this country and that they were just going to go over there and settle on that land. You're right. You got that piece of paper. I did tell you that it was yours. I just, yeah, there's nothing. I want to protect you here. So we got it. We're going to have, I got the paper out again. I got the pencil. You see it here? Yeah, that's my, yep, that's my signet. Oh yeah, there's the funny words, the squiggly things. And yeah, what that says is that to the next river. Now that's, now this is it, man. I mean, this is never getting, once again, you know, the Indian, now he, by now he's, I mean, even being the ignorant savage, he's starting to go, me don't know about this paper and stuff. Papers seem to move when lines move. And so, you know, he's, all right, one more goddamn time. He says, you are my white brother, and you wouldn't screw me. I know you wouldn't. Hell, I gave you my daughter. Sign on. About the third goddamn contract, the Indians figured it out. What they were doing is writing down on a piece of paper, whatever in the hell it said, it meant that that's what they was fixing to take from you. What they just told you was yours. They were just identifying. And that's how they came across this goddamn country. And now, you know, you look back and you look at what happened to the Palestinians, and it's same diff. Some son of a bitch just writes it down on a piece of paper. Who in the hell are these people? Who are these people that with the pen and that special goddamn way of writing where they can just write something down on a piece of paper and it's binding to you and me? You see, once we got over here and got this country settled and once we wrested it away from the Indians, I mean, even we were the ones that come in and doing the encroaching, but hell, we didn't know where them fucking lines were either. The pioneers were told, you know, they were oppressed, they pressed into labor, they finally get out of the goddamn, their servitude, and they say, well, I just want to be goddamn free. Man, them Indians sure look free out there. Well, you go out there where them Indians are, and I'm telling you, it's no place for a man to want to live. But if you take a goddamn blazing axe, I don't care if you blaze 40 square miles. It belongs to you, my friend. Because, we want to sell this country with good Americans. And you, if you can go live among them Indians, I mean, you can get along with them or not, you know, war with them, whatever you got to do. But that you blaze it, and by God, under the King's Charter, it belongs to you. And it's the same frickin' deal. Look at the story of Daniel Boone. Man, what that guy did in claiming land, I mean, it was just, he claimed he'd go out and make the forts and make a town and stuff, and here they come, just like the Californians come here to where I live. Finally gets to where a civilized person can come there and not, you know, not have to fight, where the cowards without the people without spines can come there. And all of a sudden, well, all that came, that was a part of this land grant. King just gave this to Izzy Blastenstein over here, and he's parceling it up to sell. Sorry about that, but you didn't have no papers. Well, you told me all I had to do was fucking blaze it. You go see look at the blaze marks. No, you have to have paperwork. Hell, you goddamn, you're dumb as an Indian. You don't know there has to be a survey? Really? We're down at the bottom of the hour, people. Stay tuned. We will be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Down the road here from me, there's no holler tree where you lay down a dollar or two. Go on around the bend, come back again, there's jug full of that good old Mountain Dew.
Oh, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, and them very few that are few. I'll hush up my mug if you'll fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
What's that smell? About 3 hours later, she come rolling back in. Well, the boss man really jumped her. Sonny wasn't joking. Everybody in the office knew one had been smoking. Now, wacky tobacco, when you feel it creeping up on you. That old wacky tobacco, kick back and let it do what it do. Now you can two-tope her, you can one-hit him. Puff it in a pipe and you can twist it in a stem. You can bake it in some brownies, smoke it to a ball. Roll up a great big fat one like old Cheech and Chong. Purple from down in the south, and that old stuff your uncle smokes will give you cotton mouth. Homegrown is healthy, synthetic can kill you. My all-time favorite, redheads and familiar. That old wacky tobacco, when you feel it creeping up on you. That old
you're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 12:36 Pacific time, and that was Toby Keith with Wacky Tobacky. And that being said, I think Elizabeth's on the line. You there, Elizabeth?
Yes, I am, Henry.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing okay today. It was a beautiful celebration, and I just want to thank you and Laura for the one for the beautiful flowers from the trenches. They were beautiful. Yesterday, Spike was... I mean, he would be absolutely amazed at everybody that shown up, everything that kind of fell into place. It was little things. The place he worked for Don Hall's here in town for 20 years, and he missed 3 days of work in 20 years. And his boss came up to me and said, I don't think he's ever missed a day of work, maybe one or two. I said, he's missed three, but 20 years. I mean, this is a dedicated man, and with tears in his eyes, and said that he was more than happy and that's the least he could do. And so we go over to look at the cake, and Spike's favorite color was green. And of course the cake is green and white, just like what he would want. All the flowers have been green and white. It's just very, I think he really pushed me yesterday to try to be as strong as I could, because I did read that poem, I'm Free. I was able to talk a little bit about him. Mark and Nancy Kornke, Ed Kornke, Darzak, I think his name is, he came, his son. So they were in, it was just, old friends from way back when that we used to hang out with and lost contact with over the years. And, unfortunately that happens with a lot of people. But I know Spike was flying high yesterday and just absolutely with us, and it was great. My friend did take a bunch of pictures. I did send a couple to you via email, but I will be getting more to you here in the next couple of days.
Awesome. Sounds good. Did Mark speak?
Musk did not speak. He didn't. I was kind of, I'm surprised, you know, because I figured he would. We had an open mic, so I figured he would.
Well, I'll tell you, I didn't know if he would or not because Mark would get choked up. I mean, he thought a whole lot of Spike, believe it. I mean, when he tried, I've seen him, you know, having a hard time to speak when his dog died. But something like that, I wondered if he would or not. But I'm glad that, I mean, it looked like, Darzac said there were a lot of people there, and it was a real good celebration. And, man, I'm sorry the flowers were late. I couldn't believe that.
No, we appreciate it. They're beautiful. I mean, just beautiful. And they're beautiful. We really appreciate it. My best friends are helping me with keeping track of everybody that's donated. I can't even begin to tell you how much that's appreciated. I had a water bill due today that was a little bit behind, and boom, there we go, right in the mail. I mean, just you know, God does work in mysterious ways, but so does Spike, so do all of his friends and family that listen to him on a daily basis. Nancy had a real hard time. She was real choked up, and so was Ed. And Darzac, too. He brought a hammer and a towel to wipe it off with.
Yeah, we got it on the site. He sent some pictures, too. They were up on the site.
That's just so neat. It was really, really neat. I really enjoyed that. So it's surreal. Like, I hear one of his songs, and I think about him, and then it happens all over again.
Yeah, it'd be that way for a while.
Yeah, and that's okay. I mean, you know, at least he's with me, and so I know he's with me, and so and he's still, you know, fighting the fight, just in a different place. So,
well, his words are out there. I mean, there's years of his words, and Ed's been playing them a lot. It's hard for me to listen to it. I got to be honest with you. I hear his voice all day in my head anyway. Man. I lost my right hand. I'm sure Ed lost his whole right arm. Spike did so much for everybody. When we were first putting the broadcast up, I mean, I don't know if I could have done it without him. Broadcaster, when we first started from the trenches, Laura and I never did too much with computers. My son actually came up with the page and stuff, and then she built on it. She's good now. You know, she can tear into a computer, but Spike taught her a lot. Like the programs for broadcasting, they're intentionally made the way they are to try to keep people from doing it. But he knew his way around a computer. Yeah, what are you doing with his computers? I mean, did Ed talk to you about the computers?
He did. He did talk to me. He said that he didn't talk to me today, yesterday about it, but he did talk to me that Nancy might want to, you know, have that at some point. I just need to probably, I know he had personal things on there. Yeah. He had all kinds of stuff. So it'll be the point that I'll have to probably go through and, you know, do some stuff to get some pictures and different things off there that he might have wanted me to have. And yeah. So, you know, we'll see what happens. And, but yeah, definitely in the future, I would love to be able to donate that to, you know, the cause, because that's what he would want done anyway. So,
well, he'd probably want Nancy to have him to keep. That's where he was doing the archives, and that's where he did all of his work. But yeah, I was just wondering if there was a way that somebody was going to be able to get in there, you know, and get his, like you said, his personal stuff off and what might have you, or whether his boys were going to do it or what might have you. I still haven't got a phone number for the two boys, and I'd like to get to know them because they're half Spike.
Yes. As soon as I get off the phone, I'm going to text you. Thank you. Thank you for the reminder. If I don't write it down in the last week, it's not happening. So I will, as soon as I get off the phone, I just wrote it down. I'm going to text you both their phone numbers so that way you have those and you can reach out to them. They would really appreciate that because they've heard your name over the years and they know how much you and Henry were brothers. And, you know, Ed did say, Ed made a comment and he got real teary-eyed and said, you know, that was the most dependable man that I have ever met in my whole life. He would stop everything just to help me out. If my station crashed, he was there. If I needed anything, I mean, he was there. He just was there. And I said, well, he was. And the thing is, he wasn't just that way with you guys. He was that way with me. He was that way with his kids. You know, I mean, at a drop of a hat, his job, I mean, anything. He was just very dependable. That's one thing you can definitely say about him, and many other things as well, but he was a great guy, and he will be sorely missed, and we'll slowly get all the pieces together and get back to whatever my new normal is, and go from there.
Outstanding. Yeah, he was. I mean, I'm still amazed. You know, he worked a full-time job, and the things that he did, just extracurricular, it's completely amazing. He was doing more. I mean, he was doing stuff on YouTube. He was building it. He was going for it. I mean, it was just so cool. He was advancing, and it's such a terrible thing to have to happen. But, man, that's the fickle finger of fate. You never know when it's going to hit you in the stomach. I was telling the people yesterday, you guys were at the service, but, you know, I'd lost my brother on the 8th of March, one of my best friends and a nephew on the 7th and the 2nd. I hate March.
yeah. Oh, Lord. Bless your heart. Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah. I have a girlfriend that her son was murdered in March. Her daughter's birthday's in March. And then this happened in March. You know, so she feels the same way. She's just like, this is just, March is not a good month. And I know a lot of people that's happened to, and, you know, I don't know. It's just, I have my day, my moments of the day where I'm, where we're used to spending time together from, 5 o'clock my time till about, 8 or 9 o'clock my time, and those are 4 hours of a big gap in my life that is very vacant. But my best friends have been making sure that I'm busy. Like, tonight I'm going to my friend's for dinner. I get to hang out with her kids. That makes me feel good. You really find out who's there for you during times like this. And boy, oh boy, his family on the, you and all the listeners and, Mary. And I mean, I can name everybody, let me see here. I have Mary from, the Dakotas. I have you, Henry. I have Smickle. I'm not sure who that is, but I have, let's see. There's another North Dakota. There's my neighbor. Yeah, I don't have everything here. But, yeah, I mean, just, I just can't believe everybody's generosity. Oh, there's a Jack Frost that sent a donation. Just very, very kind people that, it blows my mind. And, my friends are trying to help me gather up all my thoughts and gather up everything that I need to do to keep afloat. So that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to realize that, what we do here is, it's not for the money. You got to know that. But, the people that are out there that are our people, they're not going to be the richest goddamn people either, because they haven't gone for it. They haven't gone along with it. And so everybody does the best they can. And the people have, when times are hard, they've always stepped up. And we appreciate our people out there, and they appreciated us, or appreciated Spike, and appreciate me still. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
But I'm, it's a hell of a thing. When something like that first happens, you're about halfway through the day, you'll be going, all right, goddammit, I'm going to make myself wake up. And, when you have a bad dream about something like that, and you come out of it, and that relief, oh, geez, God, it wasn't real, And then you see that ain't going to happen. And then it's a day by day thing. It's a time. That's all. And like you said, I totally recommend that. It's always been my experience that working hard, man, keeping your mind in your work and just, working even harder. And it gets past the time until you get to the point to when you start thinking back, and it just gives you a good feeling thinking about them, And that
exactly.
Time will come.
And that's what he want me to do. So I'm going back to work Monday. I'm going to get back to work. I mean, I have people, patients waiting for me. I have classes I need to teach. I have, reports I need to send, and it's going to keep me busy. And, that's what's most important, is keeping my mind busy, keeping me busy, the love and support. And like you said, no, this is definitely not a career for the rich. What you guys do is out of your own love and out of your own pockets, and the generosity, even a dollar. I mean, anything, that's just wonderful. Like, I appreciate it. It's not, if people don't have it, I don't expect it. And my best friend told me last night in, 32 years she's known me, she's never asked me for help. She's never heard me ask for help. I never asked for help. And she said, now's your time.
Yes. At this time, with something like this, this is when your friends step up and they help. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
That's what family's all about, and that's really what it is out here. It's a big, 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 big family.
It is. Well, I will let you get back to your program, but I will text you those numbers when I get off the phone here, and I will pop in now and again and keep you guys updated on everything. And once I find out for sure, you know, what his cause of death is, I'll definitely let you guys know. But talking to his uncle yesterday, he had an uncle and aunt that showed up from Sweetser, Indiana, where he was from. They were very emotional. They used to have him over all the time as a kid, as a young teenager. And then they lost contact with him when he got married, and, you know, just that was just it. And so, so they kind of let us know that the men in the family don't live long lives. They usually die from heart attacks, aneurysms. And it was over and over and over and over again of people that had passed away that were the men in his life. So, it won't surprise me if it comes back that he had a heart attack or something of that nature.
Wow. Wow. He quit smoking and everything. I don't know. You know, it's no use to speculate.
Who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, you do drop in and see us. You're always welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Henry. And tell Laura hello, and thank you, everybody. And God bless. And we did a big hoorah at the end of his end of the prayer. So I know he was happy about that, but I will get those numbers texted to you right now, Henry. Thank you.
Already appreciate it. We love you. Take care.
Thank you. Love you guys, too. Bye-bye.
All righty, then. Elizabeth came out. That was nice. An unexpected nice thing. Anyways, back to the hateful mood, because we were talking about Chucky Schumer. Chucky Schumer, the disgusting son of a bitch. We were at, Washington, D.C., Torah says, that a prominent Democrat would give a speech heaping praise on Israel while either erasing or attempting to justify the suffering of the Palestinian people is hardly surprising. Then presidential candidate Hillary Clinton gave such a speech just 2 years ago, but the explicit religious bent of Schumer's remarks were characterized by critics as particularly worthy of condemnation. No, this is treason. You know, we were talking about, I think, about the first article one day this week when we were talking about taking the crosses down. Israel is a religious state. And, I mean, you talk about interference in your body politic in your country. Have you got an violation of your first article? Not only supporting a religious state, but one that isn't even our goddamn country, that is here running our country for their benefit and to our demise. Again, for unregistered foreign agents, let's see what we got here. Schumer was not the only Democrat who joined Vice President Mike Pence, Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley, and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in speaking before. See, they're all here. They think about some phone call to a Russian is, oh, shit, they're trying to influence our country. They're trying to make things, you know, for good for Russia and against us. But these son of a bitches. You know, they're right in there. I mean, they're doing it right in front of you. They're doing right in front of you and letting you know that they're for them and to hell with you. It's just like the thing with the immigration. We represent those foreigners over there. Why in the hell have we put up with this shit as long as we have? That's the only thing I can wonder. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Democrat Californian, Senator Ben Cardin, Democrat Maryland, Senator Amy Klobuchar, Democrat Minnesota, and Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat California, also spoke before the conference. This is for a foreign frickin' country, people. I mean, it's like people have completely lost the conception of what a sovereign nation is. Go ahead, Charlie.
So, you know why Israel don't want to be a state, right?
In the United States? They'd have to pay taxes. I don't know. Why?
Well, then they'd only have two senators. They have 100 of them now.
Oh, man.
There is.
That makes sense, man. That adds up. That's math, man. You're exactly right. They own every goddamn one of them. I mean, this false left paradigm, Alex Jones has kind of joined the false right side of as he preached about it for 50 years. When it comes down to a vote for something for Israel, including taking our troops to war on an aggressive action, 99-0. Man, they all come together. It's like they're the same person. It's like that bird with both of those wings shitting through the same hole. When it comes to Israel. So who's running your country? We know who's, I mean, you look at the list of dual citizens. I mean, no country on the planet would allow a dual citizen to operate or be a member in their government, to have authority in their government. Nobody would do it. It's called dual loyalties. That's why with the immigration and laws in this country used to be prior to, I think, 1962, you had to absolutely denounce your former citizenship. You would no longer, you weren't going to be no Israeli-American, Irish-American, Russian-American. You were going to be an American, and those people there were the other guys. After 1962, when the communists took hold in this country, they removed that qualification. And the reason it was put there is because you cannot serve two kings. I mean, I think that's written somewhere in that Constitution they're all so proud about. It's like when Obama went to serve on the United Nations Security Council as head of the Security Council. Man, I mean, I'm watching that happen, and I'm going, Jesus, can you people read? Do you people, I mean, it's like they do this, and it's been so long since people truly understood the ramifications of actions that they don't, that, I mean, that it doesn't, I mean, this should shock you. This should be like, oh, shit. You can't sit on the, you're the president of the United States. You're sitting on the, as the head of the UN Security Council at the same time? Really? And it's like the, you know, this Benjamin Netanyahu, and all these shit asses here, all coming together to talk about what's good for Israel. But man, you talk about a Russian might have made a phone call or made him put something on the internet telling you don't vote for Hillary or don't vote for Donald Trump. Oh my God, that's interference. We should sanction them. We should bomb them. Man, nobody has interfered in our body politic in this. Well, our body politic is taken over by these sons of bitches. Nobody has interfered like Israel has interfered in our country. Nobody has taken from our country like Israel has taken from our country, and not just in material wealth, but in the blood of our people. And they sit there and they do it right on TV. Oh man, don't say anything against it. Don't say anything against that foreign king sitting there telling your goddamn so-called representatives who don't represent you, who represent the foreign king and don't care to step up and tell you they do. Like Tucky showing me. I mean, I'm telling you, in the days, even with the aristocracy that was put, no, they wouldn't, because the Benjamin Netanyahu of the day was Benjamin Franklin. It's been this way forever, man. The biggest mistake ever made since the conception of this country, since the winning of that war, since the blood spilled by Americans to run the king out, was not going to Philadelphia and finishing the job, plain and simple. I promise you, it's just like, you know, sometimes I talk about if they hadn't have killed John Kennedy, my life would have been a whole hell of a lot better. We probably wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation because they wouldn't have reached this far yet. Not that they were already working the system, you know, as far as the Trading with the Enemies Act and the War Powers Act to take us over, but it would have put such a halt on it, and bringing the money back, you know, printing Yankee greenbacks, the wealth that we would have had, I could have made it through my life, but then again, it would have been just like what happened to me, the generation before me. As long as I make it through, it don't matter. At some point, this shit has to stop. And it has gone way past the impetus of no return. It has to stop, and it's only going to stop through a war. Anybody that doesn't see that, like Ryan Bundy, I mean, you go talk to these people. I've, you know, on occasion when they've been there, you know, and they've talked about how they're the patriots and all this shit, and you ask them a question and say, well, you'd realize we're going to have to go to war. Oh, this is why the Hammonds out there did not want Henry Shively coming out there. Because I'm one of them radical, goddamn, militia, crazy son of a bitches that's against the government. These guys are not against the government. And I'll tell you what, they ain't against these Jews either, because they're good Judeo-Christians. And they just want the business back like it was, so they can have their lives of privilege. And the Jews will work it away, around that way for them. If they'll send our children, the people, I mean, that 75%, what they want is to send your children over into the goddamn hamburger machine in the Middle East. I seen an article talking about Trump wanting to raise 5,000 troops, wanted money from Congress for 5,000 troops to go and throw the government of the goddamn Syrians out. The Syrian government, they orchestrated an uprising in Syria just like they did in Libya, only they couldn't get the Air Force in there to force it, and the Russians stepped in to keep the might of the United States from toppling yet another Middle Eastern government in goddamn blatant violation of what they call international law. But there is no international law. There is no national law. There is no frickin' law. This is the law of the jungle. And now he's, I mean, they played that ISIS game with, we're in there fighting ISIS, what we're doing. And then, you know, the Syrians, they finally whipped the shit out of ISIS, which is our people, not our people, but the mercenaries paid by the Jews and the Americans to go in there and cause a goddamn strife in their country that costs a million of their people's lives. And finally the Syrians, with the help of the Russians, they get it back into control and they're taking it back. We have parts of Syria. That's our territory. Really? I mean, and the thing that kills me is they tout international law as they're attacking these people while they're violating every concept of the so-called international law that they're supposed to be a part of.
We've started a new coalition to take over Syria. They're called Crisis.
I'm here to tell you. Anyways, guys, we have made it to the top of the hour. We will be back on Monday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, man, just hold on to reality and force it. We do outnumber them. I mean, it's our biggest problem here is that every one of us isn't making ourselves known and making our beliefs and our absolute determination that we're not going to be ruled in our country being known, because there's 1,000 of us for every one that's fucking us. If every time these people came out, they were facing 1,000 people and you didn't give them no quarter in any goddamn place. I mean, to the point you open your mouth about this treason, your ass is getting whipped. You can't do that. You go to jail. Well, what we're fixing to do here is a goddamn war, and you do that, you die. Or you kill and you get killed. That's what war is. And if you ain't ready to at least, you know, to take your chances in a goddamn fist fight, I don't see you fighting no war. Anyways, stand your ground. I guess that is the word from the trenches.
Man above, I have done all I can do.
Cookies!